streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
I gotta do right before they call me home.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. Today is December 21st, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have an author joining us here in a little while, and I'll tell you more a little more about that in just a minute. We want to remind you all that we have a toy drive going on right now for Christmas, and you can donate toys here in Maricopa, or you can send anything via mail. And even if we get it after Christmas, some of our toys will be going to the homeless shelter as well as the domestic violence shelter as well. So these kids a lot of times come, you know, to these places and don't have anything. So, you know, if you could send it even after Christmas, that would be a great help. It will go to children that need it and can use it. We also, last month, launched our clothesline. You can log on to our website store and check out everything. We have sweatsuits, hoodies, thermal caps, hats, long sleeves, you know, regular t-shirts, and all of them do have our logo on it, and all of the money that we get for that just go right back into what we're doing to educate the youth. In December here, we just want to kind of go over what we went out to L.A. December 14th and spoke at the Southern California Thief Fire meeting and met with some of our friends out there who are gang interventionalists, and had a great time out there meeting some new people. We also did talk to the kids at the Bob Murphy School in Rialto, California, and had a great day with them. And then that afternoon had a book signing at the Prince Center in San Bernardino, all put on by Terrence Stone of the Young Visionaries, and we give a big shout out to him and all his support and help that he does for us in California. And then on the 19th, we stopped by the Young Visionaries Mad Max toy drive out at the art gallery in Rancho Cucamonga, and got to spend some time with some awesome people out there and network and meet some awesome awesome people. So we just want to give a big shout out to Terrence Stone once again of Young Visionaries, and also to Kevin Kim of Mad Max Foundation. And I'm going to go ahead and hand the phone over to Boyd for a few minutes. He can talk about what's happening here in Detroit tomorrow night.
Yeah, and also, last but not least, we would like to give a shout-out to Mr. and Mrs. Cooper over at the Art Wine Gallery. We'd like to give a shout-out to them, and shout-out to Ms. Shauna over at the Young Visionary Princeton. That was very well hosted by her, and once again, Mr. Terrence Stone and his organization out there. So, and I'd also like to give a big shout-out to my man Glassman and his fling, Lisa. So all the great people we met along the way on our California journey last week. I just want to touch up on my brother's visual will be tomorrow, and that visual will be hosted by Pastor Ovella. And the visual will be tomorrow night in Detroit, Michigan. And it will be hosted at Gate to Glory Faith Church at 5449 Oakland Boulevard. And we would definitely like all our Detroiters to go out and support that visual and support peace in the streets of Detroit and around the country. And we just like to thank everyone for supporting the Streets Don't Love You Back movement as well. And once again, I'm going to pass the mic to the missus and keep things alive, you know. So we're waiting on our guests to show up, and we're just here doing our thing.
All right, and like we said, we have an author calling in. We're waiting for her to call in. She's an author of 3 books from Southern California. And we're going to go ahead and just wait a few minutes to introduce her until we do have her on the line. We also will have a couple of other callers that we do know, and everybody must be running behind a little bit tonight. Let me go ahead and just give you our schedule. We are supposed to be going back out to California in January for another book signing and some other additional networking here. And I don't quite have the details set on that yet, but for sure February 22nd we'll be out in Detroit for also another day of prayer and healing. And Rob will be a guest speaker out there, and that will be an additional memorial for our brother Sidney Daniel, who was killed October 30th. And we're definitely trying to stop the violence and be a loud voice against that. We also will be out in Atlanta, Georgia, March 24th, for the literary festival for Word on the Street. And, you guys got to get out to the Underground Mall March 24th and meet all the authors and musicians and different people that will be there. An awesome, awesome event that will be happening down in the ATL. Let me go ahead, and I do have the founder of Word on the Street online here. I'm going to bring her on for a few minutes since our guest still hasn't called in. Are you there, Lisa?
Hey, girl, I'm here. How are you?
Hey, we're doing really good, hanging in there, you know, just kind of resting after our trip this past week out to California.
How'd that all go?
It was awesome. It was really great. You know, we talked to a lot of kids. We did the book signing. We went out to a ceasefire meeting in South LA, South Central, and then you know, we hung out over there with Freeway Rick Ross for a little bit, and got to visit with Skip Towns and Vicky and Pam, and just a bunch of people that we know out there that are all, you know, working in the same direction, trying to educate the youth. And so we had a really, really good time. On the way home, we got to stop at a toy drive that Terrence Stone put together along with Mad Max Foundation. We met a lot of people. We got to network and meet some awesome, awesome people. So, you know, a lot of positive things happening now in Cali.
Okay. And basically, I got told, you know, after the first of the year, because we got till March, I went up to Meadow Creek, and I brought the paperwork and did everything I had to do. I talked to the woman, and they was just basically like, well, after the first of the year, we'll be able to, you know, when the kids go back to school, they can, you know, just confirm everything. So you will be getting that email for that.
Awesome. Yeah, we want to thank Lisa. She's keeping us together for us to be able to go out and talk to one or two schools out in Atlanta, Georgia, while we're out there for the literary festival. So, you know, that'll be awesome, and we're looking forward to that. And we thank you a lot for your support, Lisa.
Well, I got an interview this week with Examiner.com. Donna Robinson is interviewing me, so I'll make sure I shout y'all out. It's about the event, and then actually, I have another interview for a Cali station with Alita and her people, and it's syndicated on 85 U.S. cities. So I'll be talking about all that and y'all. So, yeah, we're gonna hold it down. Trust and believe that. Oh, and by the way, some other things I'm working on. Well, y'all won't be able to make it because it's too short notice, but New Year's Eve, my whole publishing team, and my authors that I'm publishing, we're all getting together in the A. We've got hotel rooms, VIP section at the spot. So we're going to bring 2012 in together so we can take over. That's awesome. And then the best is, Rob, you already know I don't play. And then on top of it, I booked the only table that they've ever seen with books. So my team is coming. We're going to Black Bike Week, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And I got the exclusive, just like I did at the Underground. they gave me the exclusive because guess what? If y'all don't know to pick up on these places that you could go, holla. You already know.
That's right. And definitely the literary festival in March is going to be off the chain. So you guys got to get out to the Underground Mall in Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, there's some, you know, people from all over the United States, and I don't know how far they're coming from, but a lot of people will be out there. So get out and get some new books and meet some people.
Yeah, don't forget to shout out.
Well, here's the thing that cracked me up, that authors thought they was actually, see, this is how smart I am. You have to have a vendor pass with a table to be able to sell books in the Underground Mall on that day. Because they don't got a bookstore. Well, they will in a minute, but that's another story for another day. But they don't have nothing like that. So I'm thinking, well, hold up. Anybody could just walk in and start selling books, and my office pay for tables, not happening. So now they got to have a vendor badge. We got security and everything. Should they try to sell a book and don't have a vendor badge? Oh, my bad.
Well, that's good. It's good to know everybody will be on the up and up out there.
Yeah, because I saw too many at Harlem doing that, and nah, I'm not going to let my authors get taken advantage of like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we look forward to that, and it's going to be an awesome event.
Rob's so quiet. Where you at, Rob?
He's sitting right here. I'll let you talk, Adam. I have the speaker on, but here you go.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, what's happening, Lisa? Yeah, I'm just sitting back chilling and vibing, you know.
I know.
I ain't been feeling too good since we got back to Cali, you know, called a little cold being on the road, you know.
Mm-hmm. Prayers up. I know you're about to go through something again, too.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know what I mean? Just wanted to say, you know, in February, you know, like my missus said, we'll be in my hometown, Detroit. We'll be having a book signing the first part of the day at Harlem World Books and Videos out there, you know what I mean, at 21700 Greenfield Road. Everybody know where that's at, you know, at the Greenfield Plaza. So I'll be over there February 22nd from 2 to 5, and then from there, we will be at the peace rally that I'll be speaking at from 6:30 until, you know. So we definitely are putting it down, and we definitely like to give shout-outs to everybody, you know what I mean, that ride with us, you know. My girl Lisa in ATL, Skip Towns with Dickie Pam, you know what I mean, T-Stone, you know, the whole Mad Mac crew. I mean, everybody, Freeway Rick Ross. I mean, just everybody who gets down with us, you know, and then can't leave out our soldiers that's in the Fed and State joint, you know what I mean? Give a big shout-out to them and their families, and we appreciate y'all holding us down inside the walls, and give a shout-out to my brothers that's in the joint, Marvell, Christopher, and Robbie, you know, give a big shout-out to y'all. So we just doing big things out here trying to save lives, you know, and at the end of the day, that's truly what it's about.
Okay, now let's talk about what happened to your family.
What's that, the murder of my little brother?
Exactly.
Yeah,
call it out. Like, we trying to find the killer.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I'm glad you said that. Me and my wife put up a cash reward for anyone to bring this person or persons to the arrest of the Detroit police and conviction. And we definitely have a cash reward out on their head. And once again, we would like to give a shout-out to our inside soldiers on the walls of the prison systems and in the streets of Detroit that's putting them flyers up all over the place throughout Detroit, Michigan. We've been sending the flyers inside the walls. You know, if they hear something, they can shoot that message back out to the streets before we can get to the Detroit police because, like I said, we just like the America Most Wanted. Like my man John Walsh say, we will get our man, you feel me? And that's real talk. You know, wherever you at, my brother or brothers or whoever, you definitely will get caught because the full court press is definitely on in the state of Michigan. You like to add something to that, Lisa?
I heard. Now, guess what, bro? Let me tell you, y'all remember my boy Keys that got killed a year ago, my rapper.
Yeah.
Okay. Today, his mom talks to the detective over a year later. It's been a year and 4 days. Well, no, don't let me lie. A year and 9 days. Mama Keys got the call from the detectives that the man that hit him and killed him drunk driving was an illegal alien. We already knew this. Left the country, so basically that's it. What?
Right.
Are you serious? This man was in the hospital when Keys was dying. He was in the hospital. He was able to check himself out. All that bullshit, you already know. Oh, sorry for cussing.
Oh, it's all good. You know, like I say, we keep it 100 here at the show, and it's an uncensored show, you know, and a lot of people done heard certain words, you know. It ain't like we dictating words to nobody on the bad scale, you know. We just having a straight-up, legitimate PowerPoint conversation, you know.
So now here come your brother. Here come your brother. He's gone now. And ain't no answers to that either. What is wrong with our justice system? Like, don't get me started tonight on this. Because between your brother and Keys and I'm just like, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to help us some way to find this mess. And I know ain't nobody want to be snitches and all that. You know what I say about that. But at the same time, this is an innocent man that... Both of them didn't need to. Oh God! So I gotta fall back on both sides of it because I'm like, okay, I want recovery. I want justice done for both of them boys. But at the same time,
hey, Lisa, hold that thought, okay? Let's get that thing on the line. Hey, Sister Daniels.
God bless you, Rob. How are you?
Oh, yeah, we doing great. You live right here on the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And we was just sitting up here talking with some of our viewers about my brother's visual tomorrow that's going to be held over there at the gate, the Glory Faith Church at 5449 Oakland Boulevard. And it's going to be held by Pastor Bella. And we definitely want all our Detroiters and our Street Don't Love You Back team members to be over there supporting that cause. You know, like I said, my little brother got murdered October the 30th for no reason at all. And like we said once again, we just like my man John Welch on America Most Wanted. We will get our man by any means necessary, you know.
That's a blessing because we need more workers, more people that are willing to take the time out and spend a moment just to help out in the situation because God is going to have the glory at the end anyway. And I'm expecting that at this commemoration of a service that we're going to have in honor of him, and I'm honored to know that Pastor Avella reached out along with his older brother, Rob. I have to recognize you and your wife. And I bless y'all for just being in the midst of my circle because this is helping me to motivate and move others in the same directions that are going through the same crisis. You know, Detroit has to wake up. We have to wake up. We have soldiers out here, and we know what they need to be doing, and we need to put them in the position so the job can be done. And so I'm just going to say it, adding my little piece in on it, I'm asking God to give me the strength to go through this so I can see the victory. This is something
Amen. I desire. Amen. And since we're on the air, Sister Daniels, I just want you to tell the viewers that how did it come about that me and my brother finally met, because the viewers knew last time that no one knew we was brothers.
Okay, so that has been exposed. Well, what it was, the Lord had placed upon my heart because I was going through some very trying times. And the Lord had placed on my heart when Sydney come home, he had asked me if it was possible that I could get in touch with his dad for him. And the only thing I could think of was this new technology, maybe possibly having someone look on Facebook or a website and try to find out if anybody was aware of his name. And just so happened, the response came in, and I got a reply, and I believe that reply came from you indicating that he had just passed away. I believe it was on March the 16th. And I spread that information along with my children who also shared the same father that you have. And from that point, we were able to communicate, and the Lord saw fit to place upon your heart and allow you to be a part of our lives. For all the times that we did not know, God brought it to our attention so we both were in surprise, but at the same time grateful, just knowing that God has the final say, so he put these things together, and it was his own set time. And behind this, there have been mysteries. And when I say mysteries, things yet that you have to find out, things yet that we need to find out. But in our discovery, there has been a lot of good, and we don't want this good to go lost, because good is never lost. And we're applying this right now, not knowing that the devil would have a chance to take my firstborn son, which is Sydney. Through his leaving and his absence in the body, but present with the Lord, I found out that God is gathering up his sheep now. And he's allowing us to come into the pasture. And he's allowing us to eat from that pasture. And we're all going to be satisfied when this is over with, because he is bringing forth his flock that we may be able to gather. Not for a grievance occasion, because we've done all that. He said, weeping will endure for night, but joy will come in the morning. We're looking for our joy bells now. So all we can say is Detroit and all those soldiers are on the battlefield. Let's go out there and let's stand for Jesus like we're supposed to stand. And let's bring down Satan's kingdom, because it has to come down. I hear many of people speaking, but a lot of people are not listening. But for those that have those ears, I want you to open them up now, because the city of Detroit, as well as the other cities and the nations across the world, we have to come one in worship in order to be able to conquer this demon, this force, this wickedness in high places. We have to put forth our good that God has invested in us. And that's good in all of us. But it's up to us to pursue that good and to make it work. Our conversation has been all about the devil, Rob. But if we took that time to talk about what God is doing for us and not focus so much on what the devil has done, then God will prevail.
Amen.
He will prevail.
Amen.
And I'm a witness to it.
So I just
thank God for you.
Amen. We appreciate that. And I want you to let people know if they get a tip on my brother Sydney's death, do you have a number that they can call the Detroit police detective if they get a tip on leading us to his killer?
Yes, in fact, I do. There is also a number that can be used in order to make a connection, and that information will be held confidential. That number is an area code 313, and it's 454-9862. That number will lead to a person who will keep, which is myself, more likely, which will be the one answering the phone, will give me the up on reaching the officer. Now, we have an officer by the name of Officer May, which is M-A-Y-E, and he's handling the case. His number is 922-3135. Area code again, 313-922-3135.
Okay.
And all information will be held confidential.
All right. And can you give the viewer the street that Sydney was killed on?
On the corner of Seabault, well, middle of the block, actually, of Seabault and Ironwood in the city of Detroit, west side. The major streets are Tyrman, and I would have to say Tyrman, and I would go as far as say Joy Road.
All right. And is it fair to say to the viewers that this killer, we're not going to mention the name, but the killer is in that area somewhere around Tyrman area, and we just need, once again, someone to come forth with that information. Is that fair to say, Ms. Daniels?
And that's fair to say. It's correct. It's correct. The killer is lounging somewhere in the area, maybe as close as viewing us as we speak, but we need someone who would have the boldness, holy boldness, to be able to come forth and stand up and speak and let truth prevail, because we have to come and stand for each other, because without each other, we can't do it on our own. We need the public, we need those that are willing, those that are helpful, because it had the shoe been on the other foot, I'm sure that person would also need that support. So whoever is willing to come forward, it's well appreciated.
Right.
Because it's been put in the hands of God, and we want to handle it in the way it's supposed to be handled. See, we don't
right.
want violence with violence. We want God to prevail. We want him to bring justice before this situation so we can put a foreclosure on it, and we can be at
peace. That's right. Ms. Daniels, let's go back, and, you know, our audience knows we keep it real. We keep it 100. Let's go back just a little bit and talk about what, you know, what really happened. And, I mean, we're pretty sure we know who did it.
Yes.
It's just a matter of somebody actually stepping forward and saying, yes, that he did it. And, you know, let's back the whole story up a little bit. One of your other sons was in a domestic violent relationship with his baby mama. They were fighting, stabbing each other. She happened to die from that incident.
That's
correct.
Justice
was served, and your other son went to prison.
That's correct.
That family who, you know, your grandson, you were kind of sharing custody back and forth on one incident, and they had made several threats, even in the courtroom, that they were going to get back at your family. Is that
correct?
Maybe
that's
you can tell us a little bit. But they did, just the week before, threaten you with a gun to your head and to your son while you had grandchildren in your car. So it's not just we don't know who did it. We're pretty sure 99% who did it. It just needs to be somebody needs to come out and say that they did it.
Right, because we don't want to be the person who to say, I will point the finger. We want God to put his hand on that person and let them come forth, stand as a man and stand in truth. And let's stand before him and let us be judged accordingly, you know, and let justice be served. Because we're in a land where the laws are already set, okay?
Right.
And when we take justice in our own hand, it tends to lead to more violence and more violence, more hurt, more pain, more suffering, and innocent people being involved. This way, the way we're handling it, we can do it the right way and close the book.
Right.
This
you
is
know,
what we're asking for peace.
Rob could have reached out, went back to his old ways, and it could have been squashed a long time ago. And like Rob says, the whole family could be gone. But
that's
not what we're about now. And we're reaching out. We call for nonviolence. And we're, you know, trying to get justice the legal way, the right way. And, you know, it's just a shame that it hurts so many different people. You know, there's so many people hurting already, and there's so many more people that are going to be hurting because of the bad choices that these young men make out here in the streets.
That's true. And see, where we're really going at it is we want the fact that our young people as well as the older people, whoever's mind is corrupted, to be changed, because it's time for a change now. It's time that we all know what time it is. It's time that we realize that we can't do it by ourselves. There's a book, and there's a law, and there's an order to all things, and if we can go according to that law and that order and our due respect, then all of us will not have to shed as many tears as we've shed it. And a lot of innocent people won't have to suffer at the hands of those who choose to make decisions on their own and take the law in their own hands. This is where we're trying to go with it, you know, because we can't undo what's done, but we can definitely make things better.
Definitely. And we have to, I mean, not to be negative, but we do have to talk about the facts that happened so that we can, you know, share those experiences and let other people know what really happened and definitely move forward in a positive way, you know, doing positive things and promoting nonviolence. Because, you know, violence begets violence, and it just never ends. It's a vicious cycle. It brings a lot of anger and hatred and just a lot of devastation. And, you know, we just all need to remember to stand up in prayer and stand up together and just work together to educate the youth and teach them about respect for life and about respect for family. And, you know, I just don't know what is the problem with all these young kids that can walk around with a gun in their hands and think that by shooting somebody it's going to solve all their problems, or, you know, it's going to, you know, they're just too eager to pull that trigger and it doesn't solve anything.
It's so true. But, you know, it's such a tradition with the young folks that where they believe that their pride stands in their way, or they feel they just have to be that one. But they don't know sometimes it takes the one who steps back and let things be worked out, and you know, instead of trying to work it out yourself, to realize that there are many ways of solving a problem without causing any harm. But if you're not given that chance, and you take it away not only from yourself but from somebody else, you just said, I am a coward. I'm going to hide behind this because, first of all, you're not coming forward.
Right.
You're standing in the dark. But everything that's in the dark will be brought to the light.
Right.
Yeah, tell Ms. Daniels to give Ms. Daniels, I would like for you to give that address and everything out again of where the vigil is going to be held tomorrow night.
Okay, the vigil will be held at the Gates of Glory Apostolic Church. That's located at 5449 Oakman Boulevard at the Joy Road corner. And it's going to be held at 6:30 prompt, which is on Thursday. And we're having that vigil there, and we thank God for all the ones that help to provide and to those that come and those that desire to come, but just wish us well so we can go through this and we can be able to reach somebody and let them know that there are people out there who care. There are people who are concerned about now and tomorrow. See, we're
right.
All included in this.
Exactly.
We're all included in this.
Right. And you can let the viewers know also, Ms. Daniels, about, you know, my other brothers who I've never met before on how that was when they found out that they had an older brother.
Well, when they found out, some of them were incarcerated, and they were really, I mean, it just took them off their feet because I got calls that I never got before as often as I did, explaining to me, is he our brother? I said, yes, he is, you know. He said, wow, we didn't know. And I said, well, the shock came to him the same way. He said, wow, I got to, Mama, what do you think about him? I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, the first time I heard from him and his wife and then the way he honored it, I said, they let me know that here was a man willing to stand as a man and represent, and he had nothing to hide, and what he had to give, he was giving from his heart. And when I said that, my son said, well, wow, Mama, you know, I said, you're going to be receiving letters from me. I said, you tell me what you think about it. And some of those letters, I'm going to tell you, when they read it, it was like I had to be quiet because they did all the talking. It was like, wow, you know. So I've given them time to kind of do their little research along with what I'm doing. And it's all about love. It's all about love, you know. And it's a blessing that God placed it on their heart. Because if he had not a place, this day would have never occurred. You know, we would not have known who you were, and to know you is to love you. And I feel
right.
My sons, they feel like they're honored to know that they have a brother, one who's working for the Lord, one who's out there campaigning, showing the world that there is a change, but it starts within you. They're honored because
right.
It gave them hope. It gave them a lot of hope. And then y'all share so much in common. You know, we were from the east side as well.
Right.
I didn't have saints for children, but I had those that knew how to come in and out and work with and without, and at the same time learn how to value what needed to be valued. And it's this day to let us realize that we have something valuable to cherish, and that is knowing the difference. Because in all
right.
Our understanding, we must have our knowledge, we must get an understanding. And I think,
amen.
Rob, I have to say it like this. I bless you and Lucinda for helping and encouraging them. You set a light
right.
off in my home. You set a light
amen.
Off, and I speak on that light because I'm still under it.
Well, we thank God
well,
that
thank
you know
you.
We were able to do that, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we both know, you know, with our father, you know, I felt a lot of hurt just like they did. So it's like... you know, I had to cut that ball and chain somewhere, you know what I mean? I couldn't just turn around and be just like Pop was, you know what I mean? I couldn't just say, okay, I found out I got five brothers, you know, okay, forget that, you know, okay, I don't know them, so, you know, it ain't no reason for me to even holler at them, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I tell you, you brought joy into their lives just knowing there was somebody there, you know, that understood what they were going through. And understood that they could make it through the situation in spite of what position they were in. It was up to them to condition themselves. You showed them a way out.
Right.
You showed them a way out. I'll never forget the words that Chris said, Mom, wow, what kind of page was I on? And I said, I don't know, son. I said, but welcome back home.
Right, amen, you know. So
welcome home.
Could you tell the viewers the very first time that me, you, and Corey, and Sydney, and my wife met? Can you just let the viewers know the first time we all met each other and what the intensity was like of everybody's meeting for the first time? I'm 48, Sydney was 38, and Corey 30 years old. So that's a lot of years, you know what I mean, that you don't know you have
a sibling. A lot of absentees. But for some reason, somehow, when we got in the midst of your company and the way you warmly welcomed us, it was like, okay, we didn't know who to start first because we wanted to hear your story, and I'm sure you had wanted to hear what their story was. And at the same time, I'm sitting there and I'm observing both sides, and I'm sitting there and I put in my little two-shirt every now and then, and I watch y'all talk about. And everything basically that I heard was in common. You experienced a lot together. You know, on different sides, you were doing what you had to do to get where you were at, and then they did what they had to do, and somehow you're getting caught up in a situation that they did not know that would lead to what we would call a confinement, a restraint on their life. It made them realize, okay, now I thought I was in charge, but I wasn't. And then the two that came, like Sydney had came home, I'll never forget, he smiled the whole time that he was in our presence. He kept just looking. He didn't want to believe it. He said, this is real. He kept telling me, he said, oh, I'll be there, you know. And I remember Corey trying to correct him. And I said, let him be himself. Let him be himself. Because he was overjoyed of the fact that I didn't get to see my dad, but I seen the product of my dad. And I was able to be welcomed in the presence of he was just, we sat down many days and we talked about our meeting at that restaurant. And the whole conversation was about seeing each other again. That was more important than anything that stayed in our mind, seeing each other again. And that's why I said, oh, I know his timing was together. He had a perfect timing. God said this. It was predestined. And I thank God because I have to say, without him, I don't know what I would do. But
amen.
I do know that he found favor in you. He found favor in you, and I can say that. And I tell my household, y'all have a brother. Y'all have a brother. And I acknowledge the fact that they acknowledge you, and they're just as proud to be in the family. See, it took all of these years for them to realize, no matter what you went through and how hard it came down on you, that God had a key to another door that would open, that would allow you to see the picture as it really is. And that is, there is a way out, there's a way in, there's a way out. And he
Amen.
Brought y'all out of that darkness and let you see a light, which I have been
right.
asking God to show you all the time. But he brought it through you, Rob. And he
well,
allowed you to lighten that light bright enough that they had to see.
Well, I couldn't be like Pop, you know, like I said, I had to cut the ball and chain, you know, because, you know, like you say, you're sitting at the table and listening to both stories, and, you know, our story was the same. You
it was
know
the
what I mean?
Same. It was just I came with something different, and I said, well, let me be quiet because this is their conversation. Let me see where they go on with it, you know. And when I got home, I'll never forget, I told Sydney, I said, Sydney, I was just being myself and being real. He said, well, there's nothing wrong with that, Mom. You know, but I knew that y'all had something that you wanted each other to hear, and that was the truth. And when it all boiled down to it, you said in those words, and you put it out there to be known, that I had the opportunity to be with Pops, and I had a chance to hear him ask for forgiveness and what area he may have lacked in, but at the same time, God gave him a mission, and he accomplished that mission. And I'm going to say in my words, well done.
Right.
You may not master everything, but you can be a jack of some things.
Right. And they didn't get a chance to be around Pop. I mean, when they was young, but, you know, like Sydney did 17 years in the Gates, you know. So he didn't see Pop before he went in. So it was a 20-year gap. He didn't see Pop for 20 whole years. You know what I'm saying?
And
so
that's a long time to put somebody in your heart and think about him. And, you know, and many times he wanted to see him, you know. And I didn't know how exactly to make contact. But I did tell him when I heard about that Facebook, I immediately made a phone call. I said, send me a favor, contact and see if anybody knows. It's just that
right.
light came on in me. And then instantly everything started revolving around it.
Right. Because I
knew everything was changing.
Right. When I put up that information about Pop had died, you know what I mean? And my mother said the same thing. She said, I'm telling you, she said, once you put the, you know, you put his name up on that Facebook or something, she said, somebody don't know Pop. Trust what I'm telling you. And that's when your daughter reached out and said that my brother said that's his father, too. That was Corbin.
That's it. That's it. I put them on the job. I said, y'all, do what you do. I said, y'all work it all the time. I said, show, you don't have to show me, just go in there and let me know. And then when he showed me the picture, I said, oh, yes, that's him.
Right. Right.
That
yeah.
is
yeah.
it. And then when I seen you, Rob, I said, oh, my God, it's a spit image. I said, well, I said, I see one or two look exactly like Rob. I said, oh, my God, genes are very strong. But I was grateful just to know that everything was basically confirmed. Seeing was
right. Breathing.
Hearing was breathing. Because there was so much in common. It's just like you were right here in my home.
Right.
And that's why I say I just, you know, it's just amazing how God can bring all the pieces together and put them in his proper places.
Right.
It's amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
You know, like I said,
I have to keep saying again, your wife has been a blessing as well.
Yeah, thank
because
you.
Because when
you
I
know,
think about the goodness of God and how he works through a pattern, he worked through her to get to you for you to get through to us.
Right, because I wasn't finna do nothing, you know what I mean? Because I told, you know, I told you the real, you know, I told my brother.
Yes, you did. Yes,
you
know,
did.
And I accepted that because I like
what
you call
private life. Yeah, my wife was like, well, you help everybody else, you know what I'm saying? And you help people you don't even know sometimes.
A woman of God.
Why wouldn't you help? Why wouldn't you want to know who your brothers is? They, you know, three of them doing life in prison. You know, why wouldn't you want to reach out and know who your brothers is? You know, so, I mean, once you said all that, I couldn't say nothing else, but okay,
now
we'll.
That's your point, but it was a blessing.
Right.
The blessing.
So here goes
well,
the
I'll never forget
again.
The day.
What day? Go ahead.
I said, I'll never forget the day because it was a renewing of a new life in my children. It was a renewing. It was like, we have hope. We have hope.
And
we're not the only ones that have been through a struggle. But
right.
Now we're part of a movement now. And we're able
right.
to not only move with grace, but we're able to move and not carry that same heavy weight that we carried before.
Right.
And that's the blessing. That's the deliverance of all of it. Because now that you know, you can let somebody else know, and somebody else can let somebody else know, and we keep this spinning. All I can say is God's light is going to lighten all over the world.
Right. Well, you know, I want the audience to know, too, that, you know, Ms. Jagnes, you're one of the strongest women I've ever met. You know, you're the mother of 11 children. You know, you have been through so much. You know, and God has blessed you to stay strong and to do what you have to do. And, you know, I just want you to touch on a little bit, you know, the struggles that you have gone through with, you know, the father of Rob's brothers wasn't in their life, just like he wasn't in Rob's life. And you had
right.
to, you know, go through many, many jobs to raise those boys, you know, with the help of your family and whoever was there to help you. And then you had 6 more children after that.
Yes, I did.
But just
4 more boys
children,
and 2 daughters. I sure did. And
that
I just asked God in the
midst
of being in the society and the way we were living and the lifestyles of the streets, if he would just help me hold my children and let me teach them.
Right. You know, I wanted you to talk a little bit to other women out there who have maybe gone through some of the stuff you've gone through, and you have, you know, you taught your kids right from wrong when they were little, you took them to church, you know, you did all the right things, but they made, you know, the choices that they made out in the streets, and, you know, you have several of your sons that are in prison, and can you talk a little bit about, as a mother, you know, how you get through day-to-day living with that? I mean, it's got to be hard, very hard, and stressful and hurtful.
Well, Lucinda, I found out most of all, being just a child of God alone would cover any position that you had to hold in this world. okay? We go through ups and downs. We go through trials and tribulations, and nothing is promised or guaranteed to us. But when we look at the good side of it and realize the position that we're in and accept that position, when I brought forth my first son, I asked God, let me be the best mom that I could be. And in asking that, I daily asked him to cover me. When I say cover me, teach me, so that I will be able to pass that teaching on to my children, and they'll be able to carry it from there. And of all the things that I asked him, most of all, I said, make sure, Lord, that we get an understanding. It hasn't been easy, because I've had some, you know, you get some children that they don't just come with a manual where everything is just the way it's written. You get some that hits harder than the others. But I know they can play back every word that I said to them and every word that stuck with them. And they can tell you it's not too many mothers that would tell their children anything wrong. So therefore, the things that I tried to instill in them was to let them know, you're in the midst of a whole lot of things that are not becoming to Christ. You have a choice. It's on you. It's going to come a time when even mom can't make your decisions for you. I can give you the guidance, the love, and all the assurance that God will not leave you. And if you can come to the conclusion by putting all that together and that work for you, I promise you, no matter what position you get in, God will forgive you and he'll bring you through. Now, that's the hope that my children have, even the ones that are in prison. That's the hope that they have, that I know things are going to change. When was the struggle? Because they didn't want the patience. They were, you know, they want it right now. Like, you know, everybody, we want it right now. But God has his own time. I can't predict that time, but I can assure you it's in his promise that if you serve him, that he will give you the desires of your heart. I've seen hard days where I cried, wondering where my babies were at, whose company they were in. And I prayed to God. I said, Lord, if I can't reach them, let somebody else reach them. I know there's more than just one body out there. There's a body of Christ. It's a lot of us out there. I said, just like I'm sitting here treating my neighbor like I want to be treated, loving my neighbor's children like I want somebody to love my children, there's somebody out there to do the same thing for mine. And I just say that the harvest was plenty. The labors were few. But I know those that have been working. Because when we speak on one accord. We see things the same way. We hear things from the same sound. So I tell my children, this is real. It's not fantasy. It's not an illusion. It is real. See, we've had the opportunity to make decisions in our life, to engage in things that we want to engage in by choice, some good choices, some bad. And we also pay for the consequences in which we have to deal with.
Exactly.
Sometimes the consequences are greater than what we can afford. That's when God lets us know you done crossed that line.
Exactly.
So I'm just saying to all the children of the world, listen to your parents. Then if you're not fortunate enough to have parents to talk to you, when God speaks, you'll know his voice because he's going to tell you right from wrong. He's going to show you. And you'll see the goodness in it because everything good to you is not good for you.
Exactly.
You'll know the difference. You don't know the difference. You know, I have to say this here. I told them to my children, they said, well, Mama, look like everybody's deceiving you. You know, I said, you're going to have that. You put no trust in nobody but God. And when you look at the man next to you, you think of him that when he falls down, he can get up. It's his choice. It's his choice.
Right.
And if you can help him, help him. And if you can't, pray for him and go on down the road. Because there's somebody coming behind you that's going to be able to do that job. It's not a one-man job. Please believe me, it's not.
Exactly. And can you let the viewers know how many sons do you have incarcerated right now, Ms. Dahlia?
Well, at this particular time, I have 5 sons that are incarcerated in the state prisons.
And can you let the viewers also know what kind of toll do that have on your 5 sons when they can't pick up the phone and call mama or come over mama's house and see mama every day like they would like? You know, what kind of hold did that also have on them?
Well, the ones that are incarcerated, when I speak with them, they always tell me, Mom, if I get home this time, I assure you things will be different. Because what I've been through showed me how to value what I had, and I didn't even know I had it until after it was gone and taken away from me. They have told me many times they're sorry for the position that they have placed the entire family in. They have went through their pain and suffering, but at the same time, they felt our suffering and our pain. And because of that, they reach out to us. And when I talk with them, it's like as though a spirit of good is just coming over them, letting them know that all I want you to do is be there for me when I come home. And I think it was my greatest desire. I pray that the Lord, when you come home, just let me sit them at the table and feed them again. Let me feed my children naturally and spirit. Let me feed them. And I've been blessed so far.
Amen.
I've been blessed.
Right.
Because
and
I'm listening to my children. They're speaking in the language in which I can relate to now.
Right.
At one time, they were bitter and angry. And I didn't know whether to go or stay. But I knew they were my children, and I had to reach out, and I had to do what I had to do. And whatever I had to go through, I was willing to go through. But I didn't know how long while it was going to last, because my body was getting weak. My mind stayed strong, but my body was getting weak. And I told one of my sons, I never forget these words when I came to see that. I said, I come to see you. I said, I didn't put you there. I gave you a home. I gave you love. I gave you the life that Christ wanted you to have. It was your choice. I said, we all make mistakes, and I hold you not to blame for what position that you're in, but I hold you responsible. You know what I mean? You're not in that position. And when you come through this, you can still be a man. And this is where I left him. I said, now, I will go with you as far as the Lord allowed me to go. But there are some things you have to share with me, because if you don't share it with me, I'll never know. See, you've been over here where I'm at, but I haven't been where you've been. And there's some things that even yourself, that you're going through, whether I'm there or not, I feel you because you're my child. So talk to me. Let me walk with you all the way through this prison walls, and let me show you how to come out of bondage and out of captivity, how to not be in prison, although you're in the prison system. And a couple of them have escaped from that. And the conversation will let you know that they have accepted the fact that I may be here, and I may be not as dependent as I like to be. But I could be so many other places that could be a lot worse. So what I'm going to do is from here, realize what I have to do, and that's to live and make the best of it and continue to keep my mind and my heart open to know that God is still using me in here. That was the biggest blessing I could have received when I heard my son say that. I heard it out of every mouth. He said, it took me to have to leave from here to come here to realize that what I had was all there with me from the beginning.
Amen.
That's right.
So we're blessed. See, the devil plays tricks on all of us. But when we look at the goodness of God, he'll give us the best out of any situation there is, no matter how tough the situation or hard the situation may be. And with that hope alone, let me know that the sun is still shining.
Amen.
That's right.
And I got a word of saying that I tell my children, the sun will rise again. And when I speak about the sun, I speak of the S-O-N. Sun will rise again.
Amen.
That's right.
Because I know goodness is never lost.
Can you talk a little bit to the young teenagers that are out in the street doing what they're doing and about making choices and consequences and things like that?
Well, to the youth out there, I will say if you are blessed and the Lord has blessed you with any body that's in your life that's willing to show you right from wrong, willing to educate you in areas that you least suspect, it's better to know than not to know, because you have the opportunity to make a better choice, and you have an opportunity to excel even higher than those that don't know. Because when you find something that's not being used, and that's a mind, that's when you find out any and everything can play on that intelligence, and it can cause you to be in places that you will regret for the rest of your life.
Amen.
So if you're young and you're seeking to develop yourself in any manner or excel in any career, or you just want to bypass the prison walls, and you just want to bypass the graveyards, and just want to be this everyday, ordinary person, but a respectable person, you have to realize one thing. You can't accept any and everything, and you can't do any and everything. You have to pick and choose, and you have to make good decisions based on the fact who and what effect it's going to have on you and those that you love. Because when you forget all about those that you love, you have forgotten about yourself.
Right.
But you are a part of something that's whole.
Right. And that's
not
a good
question. You're a part of it all. My dad used to always tell me, you know, Marilyn, you got to remember, time and playing waits on nobody. In other words, with or without you, things are going to happen. And if you're on board, you can say you got your flight ticket to get where you're going. But if
Amen.
Not, you're left behind, I would advise you to get on board.
Exactly.
And he spoke of that as if to say, when you're on board, you have the opportunity to make a selection.
Yes.
What time definitely. You want to arrive, what time you want to leave, who you're going to be the passenger next to. You have some control over your destiny, in other words.
Right.
It's definitely somebody has to make every decision for you. Because then you're relying on their judgment, and you're not confirming any of it. You're just accepting it to be a part of your reality. And then later on, you find out it's just an illusion, a thought that could have took you out. But when you confirm things by allowing yourself to be wise, then your intellectual intelligence lets you know that you can do as much as anybody else do. There's nobody born a doctor or a lawyer or a dentist. You have to cultivate anything that you do, and you have to work on it.
That's something.
And we're given that opportunity with the tools and supplies by being taught. You have to take time out for yourself. And once you give that time, you have to remember two main things. If you can't respect it, you can't love it.
Amen.
If you can't love it, you can't respect it.
Right.
Then I separate the two. It's an old saying that says your heart is where your treasure is, and your treasure is where your heart is. Well, I'm putting these things together because there's no division in that.
Exactly. And that's a good
and
point.
And these children would just take what they have to work with. They accept the fact that there's somebody over them or around them in the midst of them that is constantly loving them.
Right.
And they don't see it because they go everywhere to try to get what they already got. If they just stand still and see it, they will be able to conquer anything.
Right.
But the power is already within them. They just have to know how to use it.
And they don't understand it half of the time, you know, until it's too late, you know? And
they don't, and you know, and unfortunately, it's sad to say, usually their so-called friends are the ones that usually get them enticed, involved in something. Because, see, they can't do it by themselves. Every coward needs somebody to kind of help them do the job.
Right. Exactly.
And I always tell you, if you didn't call me when you were doing good, why call me when you're doing bad? Because I can do bad by myself.
Yes.
And I'm always saying that to say this. You're only what you think you are. No more or no less.
Right.
We got people calling people every day, and they're not their name. They're not answering it to us.
Right.
But we'll sit mad, these young folks are getting mad because somebody calls them out of their name and they're ready to take their life. That, you know your name.
Right. Exactly.
Why be confused because nobody comes to you and tells you, call you out of the name, but you should not even be answering to from the beginning. Know who you are.
So we also want to ask you this here too, Ms. Daniels. Can you let the viewers know also that, you know, you do have 5 sons incarcerated, and also, you know, by them being incarcerated, you know, it's not like it's no short sentences there, you know? So
you have terms, life terms.
Yeah. Can you speak on that a little bit more on when your son started getting them kind of sentences, what kind of blow was that being to you, you know, as a mother that, you know, starts seeing her children just get took away from her from the streets, you know what I mean? Can you touch up on that a little bit of yours?
Well, at one time, Rob, I was very angry with the system myself personally because I didn't know what I know now. I was so angry. I thought the system was just cruel. I thought that they had their picks. In other words, I was so bitter until it showed all over me, okay? I had the utmost respect for people that were in positions that I had to respect by the law and different positions, but I had my inward heart was bleeding because I felt as if so it was like I was here but I didn't want to be here. I was at war and I couldn't stay in peace because of the situation because everything that touched something that really involved my children touched my heart. And when you touch my heart, either it was a broken heart or the heart was mended, and my heart was broken. When my sons went to prison and before they stood before the judges, I'll never forget the trials that I went through and how I listened to the debate back and forth, and I heard the lawyers, and I heard this. And I kept quiet because I wanted to hear what I needed to hear, but I didn't hear all that I should have heard. And I see some attorneys represent, I see some that didn't do anything. And I watched the judge, and I looked at how they carried the situation with my children. And when they first took, I never forget, Sidney, Chris, and Rock, they were the three that basically got taken away pretty near around the same timing because the case that was involved with them three was three involved. So they took them one by one according to the trial. As they went through the trial, it was heartbreaking and it was tiresome, but I noticed one thing I recall telling the judge. I said, I don't know what order you're taking my sons. I said, but I do know it's out of order that everyone has to go this way. I don't know what words to say to you. I kept saying, I don't know what words to say to you, but as a mother, you didn't just take my son. You took the love of my life. You took my best friends. You took everything that meant life to me, you took from me. And it was very difficult for me to even relate to my sons, even when I visited them and I wrote them letters because I was so hurt until the hurt didn't allow me to be the person that I wanted to be in their life to them because when they got incarcerated, I kind of like withdrew myself and I was battling with myself, asking why. Why me? And at the same time, when my son told me, they said, Mama, you took so long when you did right, he said, I realized that you were hurt. I never thought of the damage that it would do to you. I never thought of the position that it would put you in. And they asked me for forgiveness and said, Mom, come and see me because I need you. And I knew all the time that I needed them. So when I made my first acquaintance with them behind the prison walls, I'll never forget, I walked up to them and I embraced them. Each one of different times I went and I embraced them. And I stood there so long. I'll never forget the one and said, okay, you all have to have a seat because at that time they had them where you sit on one side and they sit on the other and it's all, it was not, you know, like it is now. And I sat there and I looked at them and tears came down my face. And I'll never forget when Sidney wiped my tears and he said, Mom, it's all right. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I said, he says, only one thing that's different from the position that we're in and the position that you're in is that we can't see each other like we normally do. We can't do the things with or for each other like we normally do. He said, but we are here. And I thought about it. My mind went to going over a lot of things. I said, well, prior to them being in prison, I lost nephews and nieces. And I said, oh, they were just as young as they were. And I said, wow, I can't go and see mine. I don't have to go to a grave to see them. And I thought about the blessings. I said, God could have been any more merciful to me than when he was. And then when they talked to me, I noticed a change in the knowledge and the wisdom that they had. And Rob said, Mom, it took me these years to come here to realize what God was saying to me all along. He wanted me to hear a word from him. And that word was not only stand up and be a man, but he wanted me to learn. My head was too high. I didn't want to learn out there. He said, but in here I learned. I had no choice. He said, it was given to me as a choice out there. But in here, I had no choice. Well, I had my freedom out here. It was taken away from me in here. He said, I was told when to get up, when to go to sleep, when to move, when to eat. He said, and I didn't think that could ever happen to me. He said, I knew consequences. I wasn't like some of my other brothers. I wasn't going through the not now situation to learn because I knew that I didn't know how hard these folks were going to hit, and I wanted to be able to stand without talking. He said, that's why it's been a little bit more easier for me than it has for them. He said, but it was still heartbreaking to know that I had to humble myself all the way down to a man whom I'd never known, never seen, had never done anything for me. And here I was before my very own mother and could not even hear her voice. He said, all I ask you is to forgive me because I know better now. And I looked at him and I told him, I receive you because I know, had you known better, that it wouldn't be like it is today. I said, but because of what you know, I know the time is wrong. I said, but you give that time to God, and if you give it to him, your days are feeling like they're passing by. Well, I wouldn't have known all these years came back when Sidney came home. And he came home so happy. And Corey asked him, his baby brother asked him, how could you come home, man, being smiles and being this happy when you've been locked up all this time? I mean, come on now. Don't you have any resentment? He said, hey, the only thing I resent is the fact that I couldn't get out there with y'all and be with y'all and do the things that I want to do. He said, but I'm not even putting time wasting on resenting right now. I'm just trying to come out here and live. He said, I don't have no time to waste. I'm going to live now. And Corey said, well, I don't understand. And I said, Corey, I do. I said, because this man had to give up everything that he thought that he had in order to come back on this side. And then to gain even more than what he could have had from the very beginning of the day that he was brought into this world. I said, you will understand. I said, it takes time. And we don't all learn at the same time. I said, but they've been through something. They have been judged, misjudged. I said, they've been through a whole lot. I said, the system don't lead us all the time right. I said, but at the same time, they have the final judgment here on this earth. And they gave the sentence for them, and they looked at those numbers, and that was one time I felt helpless, that I couldn't do anything to help them. And I had attorneys, I mean, everywhere, from Canada to you name it. I think I went bankrupt and just put it out there trying to get attorneys. And I kind of like got cases mixed up with each other because there was so much going on at one time. And my children were still young in mind and young. They were not equipped for the task that we had to face. So I'm up here trying to handle this on my own and praying and asking God, please. You know, I had a whole lot of encouragement saying, well, you can do it, whatever. But when it comes down to show and tell, sometimes people don't all the time show. They'll talk and let you know what they have to say. But they don't all the time show up. And so I had to walk many days along going back and forth to the jail or to the prison to visit my fellows. Then I got tired. And I said, Lord, I got so many in different areas. How do I cover them all? I said, well, I'll tell you what, I had a little man. I said, if I send you, can I put you on the list? Will you go? Will you go? And I was sending in that form, and I told my son, I said, I sent them up there to talk to you so when they come back, we could communicate outside of the letters on what's going on that side. And so I'm just going to say it was not easy. It has not been easy. But as each one back-to-back went back in and out of the prisons, I learned to be stronger because I knew then. I knew then that that was not the worst place to be, although it was not the best place to be. And I also knew, just like you got in, there's a way you can work your way out. Laws change, people change. And you can't give up on the hope that you have, that the light is going to still shine on you. You can't give up that hope. I don't care how many numbers they put on your head. Because numbers can be counted up and you can go back down. And I believe that. I didn't believe that we would have, and I got to say it again, a black president, but we have one. And I'm saying that only to say this, that it matters not about the color, but it just lets you know when God gets ready for things to change, he put it in the order that he wants. Put in, and no man can stop it. I give my sons hope and all the sons behind those prison walls and daughters hope to believe that the day will come, if it's God's will, that those doors will open for you.
Right.
It's about the word. And there's power in the word. And when that word is put in its proper place, it's just like a key unlocking the door. And God has that key. He has that key. And he's using for those that are willing to worship him. Those that are willing to worship him, he's taking that key and he's unlocking those doors. I didn't think I would hear the prisons were overcrowded and they're letting so many out. I heard that with my own ears. So what makes me think that things are not happening for the good? I still have the hope that I'll see my son again on this side. I don't believe any work that God is putting before me is in vain. Not any. And I just want them to have that same faith that you go through, you may cry, weeping and do it for night, but joy come in the morning. Just believe. Believe. You know, you can believe something so wrong to become the reality in your world. And if you're living in that world, not just existing, but living in that world, actually truly living in it, your joy is just as great as the next man who's living in his world. But once you let the devil take that from you, and he writes it away from you, then you lose it all. I'm going to say to the youth, stay focused. Every fall down don't mean you can't get up. Every door locked on you don't mean it won't come unlocked. But you got to start by listening, applying yourself, and remember, too much time on your hands, idle time I call it, is the devil's workshop. He'll get busy because he sees you not using something, so he'll come and use it. Use what you have while you have it and use it to the benefit and the best of your ability to be a blessing to yourself as well as somebody else.
Right.
That would be my message for all of you today. Use what you have. Don't abuse it. Don't misuse it. And count your blessings. But people don't just have to do anything for you. They don't have to even speak or smile. But if you can put a smile on somebody's face just by, hello, say it. You'll think about it later on.
Right.
See, God is too good and he's too wise to make any mistakes. And I speak on him so fully because I know without him I couldn't have made it this far. I couldn't have made it this far. I look at all the joys that God has put in my life and just the times of sorrow, there's no time really for too much of sorrow in my life. There's not too much time that I have for tears.
Right.
Because I know what he promised me. My children said, Mom, you still believe it? I said, yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
That's a powerful message. Let me tell you, you know, you've got so much faith in God and strength, and you know, like I said, you're one of the strongest women that I know, and to have gone through the things that you've gone through, the struggle, and I know that your faith and belief in God is what has gotten you through it all, and it's just a powerful story, and you know, we're blessed to have met you, and we know that, you know, everything does happen for a reason, but we're definitely glad to be part of your life now.
Oh, yes. God is truly good because, like I said, he opened the windows of heaven and poured out his blessings when he let you receive us and we were able to receive you all. And it just, you know, extended from that point and it continues to extend. And God knows where we're at that, but I believe it's a never-ending story.
Amen. We got someone on the air that might want to ask you a question, Ms. Daniel. Hold on 1 second. Caller, you're on the air, 2235, last four digits.
I'm just listening. Thank you so much for putting me on the air, but I'm just listening right now.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Would you like to ask Ms. Daniels a question?
No, not at this time. I'll just continue to listen. Thank you.
Okay, we appreciate you calling in tonight, so stay on the line with us. Okay, Ms. Daniels, we're back with you. We have a viewer that's listening in, and the viewer just came online, but I would just like for you to, if you like to give a message to your sons that's in prison, you can call them off one by one at whatever you would like to say to them, and, you know, we're going to put you back on the flow.
Okay, and I do bless you for that opportunity. I would like to say to my son Christopher, Robert, Marvell, Dwayne, and Bryant that I love you, and I'm still doing the will of God. And I promise you that it's in his promise that he will see us through this. And we won't have to worry, and there's no need to doubt it. Because I've joined in an army now, and we're moving. And God has given me the faith to know that no weapon performed against us will prosper. Keep your heads up. Send a message throughout the prison and let your brothers and sisters know that God is still on his throne. I love you, and I send all of God's blessings your way. Thank God for Lucinda and Rob, because it has been more than a blessing. And keep praying for those that are in positions that can help us to help somebody else. Because we are all in need of prayer. And we need each other. We need our strength, because there's power in numbers. And if you have a need to contact me, you know my number is 454-9862, area code 313. God bless you.
All right. We thank you, Ms. Daniels, for sharing that. And for any other mothers out there who have sons incarcerated or have had children murdered, you know, definitely reach out to someone in your community. Reach out to a support group. Reach out to other mothers and families who have gone through the same thing. You know, we have strength in numbers. And you know, if you need us to try to connect you with somebody, just let us know. And, you know, we definitely have resources, you know, throughout the United States for people and for help. And that's our, you know, we made it our business to get our newsletters and get things into the prison system, have some communication with those incarcerated that are, you know, wanting to have communication on the outside and, you know, give them some hope and some strength and some, you know, to know that there's somebody on the outside that does care about them and that does love them and, you know, you want to be there to help support them and you know, we're going to, you know, just continue that journey as we educate on the outside, continue to educate on the inside of those walls as well. We are just about a few minutes away from the end of the show. I'm going to let Rob give a last couple of words and then we'll be out. And we do want to also you know, give out that information again for tomorrow night. They're having a day of prayer and healing in Detroit, and we'll give you the address one more time as well before we get off the air. But there will also, at that rally, be a memorial for our brother Sidney Daniel, and he'll be loving this dearly. And let me give the mic back over to Rob.
Yeah, I just want to say I would like to thank Sister Daniels for, you know, being on the show tonight and spreading her message and spreading hope among mothers and families who, excuse me, have lost a loved one. And we're asking everyone to just continue prayer for the Daniel family and for the viewers that just jumped online. Sidney Daniels was my brother. We got the same father, different mothers. But that's my brother. Ain't no half, nothing. That's my brother. And we just like to send a shout-out once again to our Street Don't Love You Back soldiers in Detroit and in the prison system who's on the battlefield to bring this guy or guys to justice. And any tips leading to that, you send them straight to Detroit police. And you can also call in the tips to 313-454-9862, and then you can also call into Officer May at 313-922-3135. And we asking you to continue on the battlefield. And we're just thanking everybody, you know. All our Street Don't Love You Back soldiers and all 50 prisons that support us and receive our newsletter every month, federal and state, women and men prisons. We asking everybody to just keep continuing the positive movement behind the walls to those who's coming home without date, that they come home with a positive and changed mind and are dedicated to helping and doing something right and educating our youth and others as well. So with that said and done, I'll pass the mic back over to the missus for her last announcement, and then we'll have the total last announcement from Ms. Daniels that will give out the information once again of the vigil that will be taking place for my brother Sydney tomorrow night in Detroit, Michigan. And much love and respect for Ms. Pastor Vella, who's putting this together. We reached out to her, and instantly she jumped on board with this, so we're thanking her very much as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Ms. Daniel, go ahead, and any last words you would like to say about the vigil tomorrow night or anything else you'd like to say before we end?
Yes, I would like to say we'll be gathering tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. promptly, which is Thursday. The Gates of Glory Apostolic Church at 5449 Oakman Boulevard at the corner of Joy Road. And that will be our visual for Sydney. And we thank Pastor Vella for opening up the doors that we'll be able to come in and worship. And we'll be able to commune with one another. And just let's come out and let's just have a time that we'll never forget, and one that we can carry to and forth everywhere we go, because this is a plea that we need to send out to the city of Detroit and all over the world to let us know that there are people who are willing to open up the doors and bring everything into the light. So, again, at the Gates of Glory Apostolic Church, which is 5449 Oakland Boulevard at Joy Road, that'll be held Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. prompt, December the 22nd.
And that's, once again, tomorrow night.
Yes, it is tomorrow night.
All of you Detroiters, try to get out and make that. And if you have any family members, please spread the message on. And, you know, we'd like to give a big shout-out, like Rob said, to Ms. Pastor Ovella.
Yes.
He does a citywide day of prayer and healing every month in Detroit, and has different speakers come in and different things that she does to promote prayer and healing in Detroit, which is very much needed there and everywhere. And also in February, on February 22nd, we will be out for her February Day of Prayer and Healing, and Rob will be one of the guest speakers there. So we look forward to being able to get back out into Detroit and spread that message once again.
It's a last-minute call.
We do have a last-minute caller here, and we're going to go ahead and pick that line up, 2910, and see if they have a message for us. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, just listen.
Okay, great. We're almost done, but hang in there with us.
Yes, once again, we'd just like to thank Sister Daniels for being on the line. And
God bless you. And Rob, would you repeat again the Officer May's number that may possibly be able to pick up any tips leading to the case? You know,
amen.
And he also has another number at the 596-5289 number.
All right, that sounds like a winner. And once again, like my wife was saying, we will be in the city of Detroit February the 22nd. I will be speaking there with Pastor Ovella again, me and the missus, and also we will have a book signing that day from 2 to 5 at Harlem World Books and Videos out at Greenfield Plaza out there on the west side, 21700 Greenfield. So we ask you to come on out and let's spread the message of hope and educate these kids about these gang drugs and violence. And at the end of the day, crime definitely don't pay, because they got another place for you besides the graveyard, and that's their prison system, which the government owns all of them. So let's stop going behind the cage, and let's stop pushing them pistols instead of guns, and educating and being something in life instead of wasting all your time on negative energy going in and out your prison system. So let's straighten up and do right because you can. I'm a living witness, and I'm a product of the streets. So I changed my life, and I'll show you what God has done for me, and you can do the same thing because we all make mistakes, and we all sell short of the glory of God. We fall short a lot of times, but through his grace and mercy, he spares us to do right. So that's what it is.
All right. And we are going to go out with a song tonight, Guide and Protect Us by Rising Sun. And we'd like to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everyone. And please join us again next Wednesday night, same time, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern time. And just a shout-out to all the Streets Don't Love You Back members, all those who support us. And if you'd like to get our newsletter, please give us an email or notify us, and we'll get that right out to you. Once again, have a great holiday week, and we'll join you back here next Wednesday night.
Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care, I say, Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray. Yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way. Lord, how precious your love and your grace and your countenance. Your grace and your strength and your mercy, swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me, even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working, every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. With enemies close all around, I will call your name. Yeah, and slaughter the weak, you quickly. With no thought or shame, Lord, for my heart is firm in your hands, so I'm no disgrace. No, I'll hail up your name every day with a smiling face. Boy, I never can give in a praise to your tenderness. Lord, to be in your infinite grace is my happiness. Yeah, no matter the time or the you're a devotee, Lord. You show me the light and the dark, so I shall repent. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.
Yeah, we tried the long rocky road.
Uh-huh.
The buffalo soldier fights the power, freedom, war. The last day upon the throne, the conquering disciples from your congregation. Yeah,
yeah.
Collect your security, we build a better nation. Time beside the unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war. But brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering, see so much petty things.
We're crumbling our destiny, but we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love. So I will always strive to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. Then give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me, even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working, every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.